The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
Well, if you're in a Friday state of mind, this is your day. Good morning, I'm Paul Sadek. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is Friday, April 26th, 2024. Friday of the fourth week of Easter. In the Missal, it's liturgical year B, cycle 2. Friday is a day to pray the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. And our saint today is St. Cletus. He was the third bishop of Rome. He succeeded St. Linus. That alone shows his virtue and value among the first disciples of St. Peter in the West. He sat 12 years from 76 to 89 AD. The canon of the Roman Mass, St. Bede, and other martyrologists style him as a martyr. He was buried near St. Linus on the Vatican. His relics still remain at that church. St. Cletus, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, inflame our hearts with the longings of Christ's Sacred Heart so that we might truly offer our persons and works in union with Him for the salvation of the world. Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we consecrate ourselves to your Sacred Heart, and we offer ourselves with you to the Father in your holy sacrifice of the Mass with our prayer, works, sufferings, and joys of this day in reparation for our sins, and that your kingdom come. We especially pray for the church throughout the world, for the Holy Father and his intentions, for the evangelization and conversion of the whole world, for our bishop and his intentions, for our parish, and for our families and their needs. Listen to us, O Lord, through Christ your Son. Amen. And with Pope Francis, we pray that the dignity and immense value of women be recognized in every culture, and for the end of discrimination that they experience in different parts of the world. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the Gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Well, we've turned a corner in our readings that we follow in the course of our daily Mass. In the Easter season, we read a lot, mostly from the Gospel according to St. John. And in the second half of the Easter season, which for the reading's sake begins today, we read primarily from the Last Supper discourse. There may be some occasions because of feast days where we read a different reading, but for the most part, the next number of weeks, we'll be reading from the Last Supper discourse, which is made up of chapters 13, 14, through chapter 17 of the Gospel according to St. John. And this is the conversation that Jesus has with the apostles at that Last Supper, the night before he dies. And they ask him some questions, and it's him revealing the depth of the teaching of his love, of who he is. And St. John records for us his memory of that conversation and the instructions of our Lord. And it'd be a good opportunity for us over the next number of weeks as we follow it in our daily Mass readings to be reading as well in the Bible. In our daily New Testament reading, maybe just for a few days, to be sure that we read that Last Supper discourse, to get the full sense of it, to understand the depth of how you, Jesus, reveal yourself to us, and we have this close family conversation. That's what the Last Supper discourse is, and it can be a model for a lot of our times of prayer, whether in these 10 minutes, spending time with you, Jesus, or in a deeper time of mental prayer, meditation. The Last Supper discourse is a great model. When we want to do something well, it's a good principle of working well, that we should consider what does it look like? What does it look like when this is done well? What does success look like? Or when we want to achieve some feat, what does someone look like who has done this well? So this is what the saints can be. The saints are role models of what does it look like to have succeeded? What does winning actually look like? Well, the Last Supper discourse is what a good time of prayer looks like, where we're listening to Jesus and we're asking him questions. And if we want to consider what does a good time of meditation, of mental prayer look like, it can look a lot like the Last Supper discourse. Not exclusively. There's other sections of scripture that could be good models for mental prayer, but the Last Supper discourse is definitely one of them, as Jesus teaches us. And then it concludes in chapter 17 with a beautiful high priestly prayer of Jesus, your conversation then with the Father, you speaking directly to the Father for us to hear. And again, this is a great model for us, this conversation where we talk about deeper things. I was at a dinner one time that seemed at first a little scripted, a little forced, but it actually was very beautiful, where we had many courses, just a little bit over each course. It was meant to be a whole evening long and not just a quick eat and run, but this whole evening long and between each course. So first, you know, I had a little charcuterie with some meats and cheeses and crackers. And during that course, there were particular questions that those that had organized the dinner put together. So talk a little bit about how you met the Catholic Church, about the beginning of your faith life, about first steps in prayer, about whether you're raised Catholic or whether you came to the church in some other way. And we would actually talk about those things during that first course. And then, you know, the next course came out, maybe some kind of pasta. And it was during this course, we're going to talk about ways that we've struggled with the Catholic Church or struggled with our faith. And then so on and so forth with another course, with other deeper questions. And it seemed at first like that was a very scripted and not quite natural way of having conversation. As it went on, it became very deep. And we had the freedom to not just small talk, but to really talk about deep things, to really go deep with you, Jesus, in our conversation. And the Last Supper discourse is that you go deep with us, Jesus. You want to teach us these deeper things, that there may be times of small talk where it's good to tell you what's going on in our day, just the basics. We're just going to have a casual conversation. Sometimes our mental prayer just needs to be a casual conversation, and that's good because we're friends and we can have that type of conversation. But other times we have to go deep. We have to go very deep into conversation with you, Jesus. We have to let you teach us deep things about the faith. Reveal to us the Trinity, as we'll hear from St. Philip in the next section of this reading. It'll be, show us the face of the Father. What bigger question is there than that? But today we have this early stage where you encourage the apostles to not let their hearts be troubled, right? You have faith in God, have faith also in me. That's a big statement. You have faith in God, well, have faith also in me in the same way. I'm going to prepare a place for you in the Father's house. I'm going to come back. I'm going to take you to myself. And Thomas asks a question because he's a little confused, like the apostles often can be. And we should feel free when we're confused to ask you questions, Jesus. So Thomas says, Master, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? How do we know? Jesus says, you know the way. Where I'm going, you know the way. And Thomas says, I don't know the way. I don't know if anyone else in the room was, maybe all the other apostles were just nodding their heads like, yes, we know the way. We absolutely know the way. And Thomas, maybe with some honesty that the others weren't sharing, it's like, I don't know. Was there a map that was handed out? I don't know the way. And maybe, you know, in our faith, that's everyone seems to know what this particular thing means. But in our prayer, Jesus, we have to have that confidence, then the humility sometimes to raise our hand and say, I'm sorry, I don't know this. Everyone seems to know. Why we genuflect when we enter a church in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. I don't know why we do that. Can someone explain it to me, right? I don't understand our Marian devotions. Can someone, everyone else seems to understand. I don't really understand. I don't understand the Trinity. Well, none of us can understand that with our human minds, but I don't understand the Trinity. Jesus, can you explain the Trinity to me a little bit better, this relationship you have with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And then that prompts one of the more popular lines of all of Scripture that our Lord gives us. I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus, you tell us, I am the way and the truth and the life. And really quickly, we can break those down. The way, right? What? How do we get to heaven? How do we get to the house of the Father? Well, Jesus is the way. We stick with him. We walk with Jesus. We imitate Jesus. Jesus is the way. We have to be disciples, so we're following Jesus. What's the? And we could also say, what's the way that Jesus does this? What's the way that Jesus interacts with people? We follow Jesus. Jesus, you say that you're the truth, right? I am the way and the truth. What does it mean to say that Jesus is the truth? It's that nothing is true if Jesus isn't true, and any other facts that don't correspond to what you tell me, Jesus, well, they can't be true by the very fact that because what you tell me is true, other things that contradict that can't be true. It's a true statement, I believe, that my mother is my mother, right? My mom is my mom. And if someone else says, I'm your mom, well, that doesn't correspond with the truth that I know that my mother is my mother. And so because something may contradict what I know to be true, well, Jesus, you are the truth. And if something contradicts what you teach us, then it can't possibly be true. And so all forms of sin and lie and heresies, we don't live those because they're not compatible with the truth that you are. And finally, the life. Jesus, when we follow you, when we live in relationship with you, we are alive. How good is it when someone says, I feel so alive? That's never a bad thing. That's good. I feel alive. I am alive. To be alive is a good thing. And so, Jesus, you are the life. You're that source of joy and fulfillment and zeal. All in you, Jesus. You are life. You're what gives us that joy of being alive. And so, we're entering into these days of deep conversation and deep prayer. Mary, help us. Help us to have these deep conversations with Jesus so that we can really go into this depth of relationship and know truly how Jesus is for us, the way, the truth, and the life. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
There's a lot more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at RollipUpRadio.com and on the Rollipup Radio app. This day of prayer begins in just a few minutes on Daybreak on Rollipup Radio and the Rollipup Radio app. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app for Friday of the fourth week of Easter. I'm Paul Sadek, and we begin this liturgical day joining with the whole church and all the angels and saints as we're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in the Invitatory Psalm and the Office of Readings.
Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will proclaim your praise.
The Lord's is the earth and its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is he who set it on the seas, on the waters he made it firm.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
He shall receive blessings from the Lord, Lord, and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him. Seek the face of the God of Jacob.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant. The Lord, the valiant in war.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Who is he? The King of glory. He, the Lord of armies. He is the King of glory.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Our fathers have told us of the Lord's power. They have recounted for us his marvelous deeds. Alleluia. Give heed, my people, to my teachings. Turn your ear to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable and reveal hidden lessons of the past.
The things we have heard and understood, the things our fathers have told us, these we will not hide from their children, but will tell them to the next generation. The glories of the Lord and his might, the marvelous deeds he has done, the witness he gave to Jacob, the law he established in Israel.
He gave a command to our fathers to make it known to their children, that the next generation might know it, the children yet to be born.
They too should arise and tell their sons that they too should set their hope in God and never forget God's deeds, but keep every one of his commands, so that they might not be like their fathers, a defiant and rebellious race, a race whose heart was fickle, whose spirit was unfaithful to God.
The sons of Ephraim, armed with a bow, turned back in the day of battle. They failed to keep God's covenant and would not walk according to his law.
They forgot the things he had done, the marvelous deeds he had shown them. He did wonders in the sight of their fathers, in Egypt, in the plains of Zoan.
He divided the sea and led them through and made the waters stand up like a wall. By day, he led them with a cloud. By night, with a light of fire.
He split the rocks in the desert. He gave them plentiful drink as from the deep. He made streams flow out from the rock and made waters run down like rivers.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Our fathers have told us of the Lord's power. And they recounted for us his marvelous deeds.
Alleluia.
The children of Israel ate the manna and drank from the spiritual rock, which followed after them.
Alleluia. Yet still they sinned against him. They defied the Most High in the desert. In their heart they put God to the test by demanding the food they craved.
They even spoke against God. They said, "Is it possible for God to prepare a table in the desert?"
It was he who struck the rock. Water flowed and swept down in the torments. But can he also give us bread? Can he provide meat for his people?
When he heard this, the Lord was angry. A fire was kindled against Jacob. His anger rose against Israel for having no faith in God, for refusing to trust in his help.
Yet he commanded the clouds above and opened the gates of heaven. He rained down manna for their food and gave them bread from heaven.
Mere men ate the bread of angels. He sent them an abundance of food. He made the east wind blow from heaven and roused the south wind by his might.
He rained food on them like dust, winged fowl like the sands of the sea. He let it all fall in the midst of their camp and all around their tents.
So they ate and had their fill, for he gave them all they craved. But before they had sated their craving, while the food was still in their mouths, God's anger rose against them. He slew the strongest among them, struck down the flower of Israel.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
The children of Israel ate the manna and drank from the spiritual rock which followed after them.
Alleluia. They remembered that God was their helper and redeemer.
Alleluia.
Despite this, they went on sinning. They had no faith in his wonders. So he ended their days like a breath, and their years in a sudden ruin.
When he slew them, then they would seek him, return and seek him in earnest. They would remember that God was their rock, God the Most High, their Redeemer.
But the words they spoke were mere flattery. They lied to him with their lips, for their hearts were not truly with him. They were not faithful to his covenant.
Yet he who is full of compassion forgave their sin and spared them. So often he held back his anger when he might have stirred up his rage.
He remembered they were only men, a breath that passes never to return.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, Shepherd of your Church, in order to strengthen our faith and to lead us to the kingdom, you renewed and far surpassed the marvels of the old law. Through the uncertainties of this earthly journey, lead us home to the everlasting pastures.
They remembered that God was their helper and redeemer.
Alleluia. Christ Jesus, you have risen from the dead. Alleluia.
Let the heavens and the earth rejoice. Alleluia.
A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, watched, and one of the seven angels who were holding the seven bowls came to me and said, "Come, I will show you the judgment in store for the great harlot who sits by the waters of the deep. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the earth's inhabitants have grown drunk on the wine of her lewdness." The angel then carried me away in spirit to a desolate place where I saw a woman seated on a scarlet beast, which was covered with blasphemous names. This beast had seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and pearls and other jewels. In her hand, she held a gold cup that was filled with the abominable and sordid deeds of her lewdness. On her forehead was written a symbolic name: Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and all the world's abominations. I saw that woman was drunk with the blood of God's holy ones and the blood of those martyred for their faith in Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. The angel said to me, "Why are you so taken aback? I will explain to you the symbolism of the woman and of the seven-headed and ten-horned beast carrying her. The beast you saw existed once, but now exists no longer. It will come up from the abyss once more before going to final ruin. All the men of the earth whose names have not been written in the book of the living from the creation of the world shall be amazed when they see the beast, for it existed once and now exists no longer, and yet it will exist again. Here is the clue for one who possesses wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits enthroned. They are also seven kings. Five have already fallen, one lives now, and the last has not yet come. But when he does come, he will remain only a short while. The beast, which existed once but now exists no longer, even though it is an eighth king, is really one of the seven and is on its way to ruin. The ten horns you saw represent ten kings who have not yet been crowned, but they will possess royal authority along with the beast, but only for an hour. Then they will come to agreement and bestow their power and authority on the beast. They will fight against the Lamb, but the Lamb will conquer them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Victorious too will be his followers, the ones who were called, the chosen, and the faithful." The angel then said to me, "The waters on which you saw the harlot enthroned are large numbers of people and nations and tongues. The ten horns you saw on the beast will turn against the harlot with hatred. They will strip off her finery and leave her naked. They will devour her flesh and set her on fire. For God has put into their minds to carry out his plan by making them agree to bestow their sovereignty on the beast until his will is accomplished. The woman you saw is the great city which has sovereignty over the kings of the earth." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The rulers of the earth will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will be victorious over them.
For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings.
Alleluia. He was given a crown, and like a conqueror he rode forth to win still further victories.
For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings.
Alleluia.
From a letter to the Corinthians by St. Clement, Pope. Beloved, Jesus Christ is our salvation. He is the high priest through whom we present our offerings, and the helper who supports us in our weakness. Through him our gaze penetrates the heights of heaven, and we see, as in a mirror, the most holy face of God. Through Christ, the eyes of our hearts are opened, and our weak and clouded understanding reaches up toward the light. Through him the Lord God willed that we should taste eternal knowledge. For Christ is the radiance of God's glory, and as much greater than the angels as the name God has given him is superior to theirs. So then, my brothers, let us do battle with all our might under his unerring command. Think of the men serving under our military commanders, how well disciplined they are, how readily and submissively they carry out orders. Not everyone can be a prefect, a tribune, a centurion, or a captain of 50, but each man in his own rank executes the orders of the emperor and the officers in command. The great cannot exist without those of humble condition, nor can those of humble condition exist without the great. Always it is the harmonious working together of its various parts that ensures the well-being of the whole. Take our own body as an example. The head is helpless without the feet, and the feet can do nothing without the head. Even our least important members are useful and necessary to the whole body, and all work together for its well-being in harmonious subordination. Let us then preserve the unity of the body that we form in Christ Jesus, and let everyone give his neighbor the deference to which his particular gifts entitle him. Let the strong care for the weak, and the weak respect the strong. Let the wealthy assist the poor, and the poor man thank God for giving him someone to supply his needs. The wise man should show his wisdom not by his eloquence, but by good works. The humble man should not proclaim his own humility, but leave others to do so. Nor must the man who preserves his chastity ever boast of it, but recognize that the ability to control his desires has been given him by another. Think, my brothers, of how we first came into being, of what we were at the first moment of our existence. Think of the dark tomb out of which our Creator brought us into his world, where he had his gifts prepared for us even before we were born. All this we owe to him, and for everything we must give him thanks. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Christ is the head of the body, the church, and the first to be born from the dead.
In him you were raised to life, by faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. Alleluia.
In Christ the fullness of divinity dwells in bodily form, and in him you find your own fulfillment. You were buried with him in baptism.
In him you were raised to life, by faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. Alleluia.
Let us pray. O God, author of our freedom and of our salvation, listen to the voice of our pleading and grant that those you have redeemed by the shedding of your Son's blood may have life through you, and under your protection, rejoice forever unharmed. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Jesus sets Thomas straight in today's gospel, coming up in just a few minutes on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Welcome back to Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Friday, April 26th, 2024. I'm Paul Sadek, and in today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, Thomas tells the Lord, "We don't know the way," and Jesus sets him straight. It's from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John.
"Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going."
Thomas said to him,
"Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?"
"I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me."
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. Daily and Sunday Mass readings are on the Relevant Radio app. Well, surely you have a Bible handy, perhaps even within reach. Then you have no really good excuse for not reading the Scriptures daily. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 2, Lent and Eastertide. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life for each person, the Gospel of today's Mass tells us. In knowing him, we know the purpose of life and of all things. Our life is an ongoing journey towards him. It is in the gospel we must learn the supreme knowledge of Jesus Christ, how to imitate him and follow in his footsteps. And to learn from him, you must try to know his life. Reading the gospel and meditating on the scenes of the New Testament in order to understand the divine meaning of his life on earth. In our own life, we must reproduce Christ's life. We need to come to know him by reading and meditating on Scripture. We want to identify ourselves with our Lord, our daily living to be a reflection of him. But to be Christ himself, we must see ourselves in him, It's not enough to have a general idea of the spirit of Jesus' life. We have to learn the details of his life, and through them, his attitudes. Especially, we must contemplate his life and from it derive strength, light, serenity, and peace. When you love someone, you want to know all about them, his life and his personality, so as to become like him. That is why we have to meditate on the life of Jesus from his birth in a stable right through to his death and resurrection. We should read the gospel with a longing to know him so as to love him. We can't read scripture as though it were just another book. In the sacred books, the Father who is in heaven comes lovingly to meet his children and talks with them. Prayer has to accompany our reading because we know that God is the principal author of those books. In them, and in the Gospels in particular, we find food for the soul and a pure and lasting fount of spiritual life. We should listen to the Gospel, St. Augustine writes, as though Christ were present and talking to us. We shouldn't say, those who knew him in real life were very fortunate, for many of those who knew him did in fact crucify him, and many who did not know him believed in him. The words which our Lord spoke were written down. They have been safeguarded and preserved for us. To read and meditate on the gospel fruitfully, we have to do so with faith, knowing that it contains the truths of salvation and contains them without error. We also have to read it with piety and holiness of life. The Church, with the help of the Holy Spirit, has preserved intact and free from all error the priceless treasure of our Lord's life and doctrine. By meditating on it, we can easily draw close to him and strive to become saints. We will discover the intimate truths contained in those books only insofar as we desire to be saints. Only thus will we taste the divine fruit which they contain. Do we truly appreciate this tremendous treasure which we have so readily to hand? Are we trying to grow in knowledge and love for the sacred humanity of our Lord each day through our gospel reading? Do we ask the Holy Spirit to help us each time we begin reading the gospel? In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers. You'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. Let's keep on praying. We join the whole church. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
Christ gave himself up for us as a sacrificial offering to God. Alleluia.
Christ gave himself up for us as a sacrificial offering to God. Alleluia.
Have mercy on me, God, in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. O wash me more and more from my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin.
My offenses, truly, I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight, I have done.
That you may be justified when you give sentence, and be without reproach when you judge. O see, in guilt I was born, a sinner was I conceived.
Indeed, you love truth in the heart, then in the secret of my heart teach me wisdom. O purify me, then I shall be clean. O wash me, I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear rejoicing and gladness, that the bones you have crushed may revive. From my sins turn away your face, and blot out all my guilt.
A pure heart create for me, O God, but a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit.
Give me again the joy of your help. With a spirit of fervor sustain me, that I may teach transgressors your ways, and sinners may return to you.
O rescue me, God, my helper, and my tongue shall ring out your goodness. O Lord, Open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise.
For in sacrifice you take no delight. Burnt offering from me you would refuse. My sacrifice, a contrite spirit, a humbled, contrite heart, you will not spurn.
In your goodness, show favor to Zion, rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with lawful sacrifice, holocaust offered on your altar.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, to save us and restore us to your friendship. Look upon our contrite heart and afflicted spirit, and heal our troubled conscience, so that in joy and strength of the Holy Spirit we may proclaim your praise and glory before all the nations.
Christ gave himself up for us as a sacrificial offering to God. Alleluia.
Jerusalem, city of God, you will shine with a radiant light. Alleluia.
Jerusalem, city of God, you will shine with a radiant light. Alleluia.
Let all men speak of the Lord's majesty and sing his praises in Jerusalem.
O Jerusalem, holy city, he scourged you for the work of your hands, but will again pity the children of the righteous.
Praise the Lord for his goodness, and bless the King of the ages, so that his tent may be rebuilt in you with joy.
May he gladden within you all who were captives, all who were ravaged, may he cherish within you for all generations to come.
A bright light will shine to all parts of the earth. Many nations shall come to you from afar, and the inhabitants of all the limits of the earth, drawn to you by the name of the Lord God, bearing in their hands their gifts for the King of heaven.
Every generation shall give joyful praise in you, and shall call you the chosen one, through all ages, forever.
Go, then, rejoice over the children of the righteous, who shall all be gathered together and shall bless the Lord of the ages.
Happy are those who love you, and happy those who rejoice in your prosperity.
Happy are all the men who shall grieve over you, over all your chastisements, for they shall rejoice in you as they behold all your joy forever.
My spirit blesses the Lord, the great King.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Jerusalem, city of God, you will shine with a radiant light. Alleluia.
I saw the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Alleluia.
I saw the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Alleluia.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Zion, praise your God.
He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed the children within you. He established peace on your borders. He feeds you with finest wheat.
He sends out his word to the earth and swiftly runs his command. He showers down snow, white as wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes.
He hurls down hailstones like crumbs. The waters are frozen at his touch. He sends forth his word and it melts them. At the breath of his mouth, the waters flow.
He makes his word known to Jacob, to Israel his laws and decrees. He has not dealt thus with other nations. He has not taught them his decrees.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All-powerful God, it is through your church, generously endowed with gifts of grace and fortified by the Holy Spirit, that you send out your word to all nations. Strengthen your church with the best of all food, and make it dauntless in faith. Multiply its children to celebrate with one accord the mysteries of your love at the altar on high.
I saw the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Alleluia.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The God of our Father has raised up Jesus, whom you put to death, hanging him on a tree. He whom God has exalted at his right hand as ruler and Savior is to bring repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We testify to this. So too does the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those that obey him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
He hung upon the cross for us.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
I go now to prepare a place for you, but I shall return to take you with me, so that where I am, you also may be. Alleluia.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I go now to prepare a place for you, but I shall return to take you with me, so that where I am, you also may be. Alleluia. God the Father raised up Christ through the Spirit, and will also raise up our mortal bodies. Let us cry out to him.
Lord, raise us to life through your Holy Spirit.
All Holy Father, you accepted the holocaust of your Son in raising him from the dead.
Accept the offering we make today and lead us to eternal life.
Lord, raise us to life through your Holy Spirit. Look with favor on all we do today,
that it may be for your glory and the sanctification of the world.
Lord, raise us to life through your Holy Spirit. May our work today not be in vain, but for the good of the whole world.
And through it lead us to your kingdom.
Lord, raise us to life through your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes today to recognize our brothers and sisters, and our hearts to love them,
so that we may love and serve each other.
Lord, raise us to life through your Holy Spirit. And as we end this week, we offer the prayers and needs of our own hearts. Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, raise us to life through your Holy Spirit.
Now let us offer the prayer Christ has given us as the model for all prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
O God, author of our freedom and of our salvation, listen to the voice of our pleading and grant that those you have redeemed by the shedding of your Son's blood may have life through you, and under your protection, rejoice forever unharmed. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Morning Air is coming right up with John and Glenn Patrick Madrid a bit later on. I'm Paul Sadek. Let's get together again tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the Relevant Radio app. Go out now, make it a great day, and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.